I, please. The United States of America versus James Earl Jenkins.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the courts, Mr. Morrison. I'm Bill Morris. I represent the appellant, James Jenkins, in this case. This is the case, Your Honors, in which an Indianapolis Police Department officer went to Mr. Jenkins' house at 2 o'clock in the morning almost a year ago today, pursuant to a call that an assault had taken place at that address. When the officer was at Mr. Jenkins' front door, she pushed open the front door and looked inside the house. At that moment, the Fourth Amendment became a limitation on her actions, and that action was consistent with the Fourth Amendment only if she satisfied the requirements of the Constitution. Those requirements are, of course, that she had to have probable cause to believe that it would be a proper thing for her to conduct this search. Opening the door was a search. The government acknowledges that in their brief. She had to have probable cause and either a warrant or exigent circumstances. It's clear she didn't have a warrant, so the issue was probable cause and exigent circumstances.
Was the door open about 8 inches?
The door was open about 8 inches, Your Honor. Okay. That's correct. But I would respectfully submit to the court that when she pushed it the rest of the way open, that was a search which is controlled by the Fourth Amendment.
She knocked on the door two different times and received no response.
She did knock on the door. That's correct, Your Honor.
Twice and received no response.
That's correct.
And she could see someone that she could see standing up and then falling down?
No, she heard a noise which she described as sounding like a person standing up and then falling down.
And the emergency call was that the person making the call was irate and hysterical?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And very excited?
That's correct.
Does that raise a thought in the mind that there's something serious going on in the house?
Your Honor, the issue before the court...
There's an imminent problem within. The crime may be committed during the time?
Sure, those facts no doubt raise some concerns in the police officer, but that's not the issue before this court, Your Honor, because in evaluating the Fourth Amendment issue, the district court judge included in his consideration information which she learned after she opened the door. When she opened the door, she saw a man, Mr. DeQuincy, who she described as being bleeding and non-responsive. Those are obviously significant facts, too, but they occurred after the search took place. The error...
Didn't she continue to hear the sound, or she interpreted as being that someone was trying to get help and they were unable to get it? That was all the officer's interpretation before she entered the house?
She testified that she heard this sound while she was standing on the front porch. That's correct.
Right, and trying to get help, and they weren't able to get it.
I don't recall that she testified that it sounded as if people were trying to get help. But again, Your Honor, I respectfully submit to the court that the issue before this court is not whether those facts constitute probable cause or whether those facts constitute exigent circumstances, because the district court has never considered that question. The district court has never considered the question of whether, at the moment she pushed open the door and thereby engaged in a search, she had probable cause or exigent circumstances.
You say engaging, when you push open a door, you're engaging in a search?
Yes.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, I think that it's clear that is a search. The court has to keep in mind, as I'm sure you're aware, that whatever the rule is in this case, whatever rule is proper for Mr. Jenkins' home is proper for my home as well, and any other home in Indianapolis. And I shudder to think that an Indianapolis police officer could come to my home and push open the door and not feel as if that was an action which was controlled by the Fourth Amendment.
Or being, I don't want to go through everything I asked you before about being open 8 inches and she hears all of this going on inside. Someone trying to get help and can't get it?
The door was 8 inches open, Your Honor, and I would concede that if she had seen Mr. DeQuincy...
8 inches is a lot longer than that.
I would concede that if she saw
Mr.
DeQuincy...
8 inches is like this. Let's be realistic and honest.
I would concede that if she saw Mr. DeQuincy through a door that was open 8 inches, that would not constitute a search. She can look in the house. She can look through the windows. If the door is open, she can look in. But when she pushes open the door, Your Honor, it is a search, and it is an action of a law enforcement officer, which is permissible only if it complies with the Constitution. And the error in the district court was the district court judge simply never considered those facts. And I would respectfully submit to this court, Your Honors, that Mr. Jenkins is entitled to have that Fourth Amendment issue decided by a district court judge and then reviewed by this court. A government brief asked this court to decide the Fourth Amendment issue, which the district court should have decided. I respectfully suggest that would be wrong, that Mr. Jenkins is entitled to have the constitutional issue decided by the district court judge and then reviewed by this court. This court should not make that decision. The district court judge considered facts that she learned after the search. The district court judge never considered whether there was probable cause at any time. The district court judge never made a conclusion that there were exigent circumstances at any time. He simply concluded that the search was reasonable. In addition to erroneously considering facts that she learned after she conducted the search, reasonable is not the right standard. Reasonable is the Fourth Amendment standard in some circumstances. If it was a stop and frisk out on the street, that would be the right standard, but not for entering a person's home. The United States Supreme Court has made clear that a home is different. The home is one of the few areas of privacy in which the Fourth Amendment continues to have significance. The United States Supreme Court took a strong position on the sanctity and the privacy of the home in the United States against Kylo a couple of terms ago, and it simply will not do to say that it was reasonable for her to go in the home, particularly since the district court judge considered that it was reasonable based on facts that she learned after she entered the house. Now, as the government has asked this court to decide, so in conclusion, my view is that the case should end at that point. This court should remand. The case should be assigned to a different judge pursuant to your rule. I think it's Rule 23, and we should go back to that point. And
why should it be assigned to another judge?
I believe your Rule 23 requires that when a case of this nature is vacated by this court and remanded to the district court, that it gets remanded to a different judge. That's my recollection of the rule anyway. But that's not the key point. The key point is it should be.
Can you recite that for me, what the rule is?
I believe it's Rule 23, Your Honor.
It mandates, did you say?
I believe so. That's my recollection of the rule. But I don't have the rule in front of me. And I'm not specifically asking for that. I'm simply asking that the court remand the case to the district court and it be assigned according to the rules of this court. However, since the government has asked this court to make the probable cause determination and the exigent circumstances determination, and in respect of your interest in those questions, Judge Coffey, I will comment on those matters briefly. So again, I reiterate my point, this court should not decide that issue. This was a 911 call, the officer testified. She knew that a person had given a name. The name given was Rhonda Barnett. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. The door was in fact open 8 inches, and she heard a noise inside, which she described as sounding like a person standing up and falling down. That was all that she knew. I respectfully submit that is neither probable cause nor exigent circumstances to permit a police officer to open a person's door, the front door of their home, and look inside the house. She did not do any investigation. There was no call made to the house.
The problem here is if she doesn't answer and there's some terrible thing that occurs inside, then she's subject to being sued under 1983 with a claim that there was some special relationship that she had to protect
Well, Your Honor, well knows anybody can be sued for anything. I think it's clear that that the plaintiff who brought that case would lose, but I'm not suggesting she shouldn't do anything. She should investigate further. And there are a number of things that could be done other than search the house. A call could have been made to the house to ask if anyone's in need. She could have called out and asked if there was anybody in the house who could respond. She could have looked in the window. She could have looked through.
How many times did she knock on the door to ask for assistance?
I don't know.
Twice.
I don't recall that she said, I'm sorry?
She knocked on the door twice.
Yes, she knocked on the door twice.
Responded.
Right. I don't recall that she
said,
I'm sorry? I don't recall that she said that she asked whether there was anybody inside the house or if there was anybody in need of assistance. But she could have investigated the case further. I'm out of time. Thank you very much.
Please the court. My name is Timothy M. Morrison. I'm representing the government in this case. This is a case which, as the government has relied on Richardson, which this court had decided, and I would submit that unlike Richardson, this is not as close a case as the court has said Richardson was. There are some distinguishing factors in Richardson versus these facts that are critical. One, the call, the 911 call in Richardson was a murder hoax. In other words, there was no murder that had occurred. There was a call that was made. In this instance, there was a legitimate assault that was going on. Secondly, the call was made by a person who identified himself as Anthony Carter in the Richardson case. But in this case, the call was actually made by Rhonda Barnett, who was inside the house and was found there when the police officers arrived. Richardson himself, in the Richardson case, was found outside the front with his dog on a leash when the police arrived. There was nothing abnormal when the police arrived on the scene. Here, when the police arrived on the scene, what they heard, what they saw was an 8-inch gap in the front door. What they heard was the sound of a person getting up and falling down repeatedly. They made some announcements and knocks that they were there. They got no response. And at that point, the government's position is that it was objectively reasonable, an objectively reasonable police officer would push the door and to see what was behind there. And once the door was pushed, the first bloody person was encountered before the second bloody person was encountered. So the issue is, did the officer have a reason, was it an exigent circumstance to open the door? And the government submits that it was. And the government submits that despite the fact that the district court talked about the confrontation with Mr. DeHazelwood, that there exists in the record plenty to justify the officer's movement of that door at the point that she did. And for those reasons, the government would ask that the court affirm this sentence and conviction.
And you want to ask anything? Do you want to ask? Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel. We will go to case number 6, please.